Country on this Friday afternoon. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go into space.
With a great big noise like thunder, the rocket takes off for space. But how do we know what it's going to do the second the rocket is out of view? With a great big noise like thunder, the rocket takes off for space. It travels so fast that it can't be seen, so we have to track it on a radar screen.
There'll be movie cameras to film the rocket flight.
There'll be TV cameras right at the launching site. There'll be men to tell us our rocket has hurled a man-made moon that will spin and spin all around the world. With a great big noise like thunder, our rocket takes off for space. With a roar like a fire as it climbs ever high. With a great big noise like
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Rocket ready for flight. Man's first step into outer space.
Yes, the space age arrived on this day, 1957, with the launch of a Sputnik. I don't think they sang a song like that at all, because, of course, the Russians didn't have tunes like that. Scott Pook, space historian. We love him at the start of Space Week. Scott Pook, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Richard. On this space day, leading into what is a very exciting week for me and space enthusiasts around the world.
World Space Week starts today, and it was something that marked the 1957 launch of Sputnik, the first artificial satellite which orbited around the world. Later on in the program, we will hear a little bit of Sputnik, but the first artificial satellite launched on this day. And then the United Nations, now I didn't know this actually, the United Nations have a thing called the Outer Space Treaty, which they came up with in 1967.
That's correct, because we have so many countries participating in space, sometimes not always friendly with one another. The space program is a product originally of the Cold War between the then Soviet Union and the United States. So we had to have a treaty in place so that space did not become a militarized zone, a place where people could park weapons of some destruction on orbit and rain them down on less friendly countries.
Right, so the United Nations Office of Outer Space Affairs actually still exists. I thought it was just sort of something that where you tried to call interplanetary craft, but it actually has a terrestrial purpose.
It does indeed, but it also serves another purpose. We're now expanding further out into space. People are thinking seriously about moon colonies, so we have to have a treaty in place regarding the usage of the moon. We want it to be that no one country can claim sovereignty over the moon, that the moon is a place that is devoid of boundaries. It is a place for the whole world. It appears in our sky above all countries, so therefore no one country should lay claim to it. And that is the other purpose of this UN committee.
Now, let's just go back to 1957 for a moment.
Russia has successfully launched the first artificial Earth satellite. Moscow Radio announced a few hours ago that the instrument-packed sphere, weighing 180 pounds, was fired 560 miles into the ionosphere today, and at the moment, it is speeding in an elliptical orbit around the Earth. The announcement also said that observers in the path of the flight could see the satellite with the aid of binoculars and spyglasses in the rays of the rising and setting sun. The actual existence of the satellite was verified 2 hours ago when Reuters radio station north of London reported hearing radio signals on a wavelength of 15 meters.
The Westinghouse Broadcasting Company filmed the first motion pictures of the Russian satellite. You are about to witness this historic event.
Now, here is a photograph released by the Soviets of the satellite, and this is a track of what you will see in the lower half of your television screen. So be sure that you watch very, very carefully.
And that is the sound of Sputnik, 1957. It's interesting that they describe it as the most important event of the century at the start of the 20th century, or you're about halfway through. Do you think that the 20th century, the space age, actually delivered on its promise, the 1957 promise of going right out there and changing the whole nature of the universe?
It went some way towards that, but I don't believe it fulfilled that promise in its truest form. At the time of the Apollo moon landings, there was claims that we would be on Mars by 1980, actually walking on the surface of Mars. Here we are in 2013, and we're still probably 30 years away from that. So there is a lot of frustration when you hear those comments from 1957, because we should have been a lot further ahead than what we are today. But certainly what we've accomplished in that period is absolutely mind-blowing. The statement, the most important story of the century, I believe we've just had the most important story of the 21st century with the departure of the Voyager 1 spacecraft from the solar system into interstellar space. First time that's happened. So we still have a long way to go.
And in World Space Week, World Space Week is called Exploring Mars, Discovering Earth. So obviously people in the space business and the United Nations Office of Outer Space Affairs believe that that is still the real crux. That's the one that has captured scientists' and non-scientists' imaginations.
Absolutely. I mean, Mars has been our goal for quite some time. With the cessation of the shuttle program now, we are well and truly on track for that. The new spacecraft coming online will give us a manned capability to reach Mars. Each rover and probe that goes up to Mars is building on the last one. So we're sort of following the path we took to the moon back in the 60s, but we're doing it over a longer period of time. There are scientists working in Houston at the moment devising the spacesuits and the techniques we will use to walk on the surface of Mars. So Mars is coming. It is coming probably within the next 20 to 30 years, and I cannot wait to see that craft touch down and the people get out on the surface.
Scott Pook is excited. He's a space historian. He's excited because it's the start of World Space Week, the 4th to the 10th of October, centered around the day that Sputnik got into space in 1957. The Russians were off and led us into the new age. Now, test time here. Being a space historian, Scott Pook, there's a lot of famous speeches made, but I'm going to play you this one and see whether or not you know which bit of space history this is.
We leave as we came, and God willing, as we shall return, with peace and in hope for all mankind.
Now, what do you reckon that is?
That audio I know very well. That is astronaut Eugene Cernan in December 1972 at the end of the third period of walking on the moon for Apollo 17. They were his last comments before he stepped off the surface back onto the ladder of the lunar module and headed up to close out the first phase of American exploration of the moon.
Scott Peake, if I had a prize, I would give it to you right now. You have perfectly described it. Did we ever go? We've never been back since those words, and he stepped up the ladder. That was it.
That was it to this day. However, Gene is rather irked at being described as the last man on the moon because he, like the rest of us space enthusiasts, believed there should be more men on the moon, and there should have been by now. And he openly says it's not a title he wants to take to his grave. He wants to see people back on the moon so that he can get rid of this off his back. This is just the end of the first phase of lunar exploration. We will be going back, and we will most likely use the moon as the springboard to practice what we need to practice for the surface of Mars.
And the most likely people to get back there are the Taikonauts. The Chinese are the most likely to next walk on the moon, aren't they?
The Chinese, definitely. The Chinese are taking a very careful approach. Every flight they do, which is usually about every 18 months or so, builds on their last flight. So they are very truly on track for the moon. It's now a race as to who gets back there first, and I believe China is well in front.
We're going to have to get going soon, but I just wanted to play you one little bit of audio too. This is test. This is Space Week test for Scott Pook, space historian. I think this one will actually tell you what it is.
As Skylab streaked across the night skies towards all who can see the Southern Cross, the Skylab controllers were staring at their computers, surprised at what they saw. After hours of confusion and revised forecasts, NASA expressed surprise that Skylab was still intact over the Atlantic Ocean.
Of course, it didn't remain intact, Scott. It landed right here in the 70s playground. We will be hearing a little bit more about that. But Skylab crashing into Earth, that was one of the big moments.
It was. It happened in July of 1979, ironically, the 10th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing on the moon. Skylab comes back to Earth. It landed in the area around Esperance and then inland in Western Australia. And there was immediate rush of people out into the desert to try and find chunks of Skylab. One gentleman ended up finding a chunk of Skylab, I believe, in his backyard. He ended up in San Francisco and claimed a substantial financial reward from the San Francisco Examiner. Another person found one of the oxygen tanks from Skylab. It ended up in Perth on display at the Miss Universe or Miss World pageant that was on in Perth at that time. And that chunk is now on display at the Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. So Skylab was the big story of 1979. I remember it well as an 11-year-old or 10 or 11-year-old child, seeing the video of Skylab come streaking across the sky. It was something that one will never forget.
Well, we won't forget it. We're going to celebrate it a bit more. You'll hear some more about that at the 70s Playground. 1979, of course, we're doing space tunes and space events. We'll hear a little bit more of the final walk on the moon in 1972. We'll hear a little bit of Skylab in 1979. But in the meantime, we will say thank you very much, Scott Pook. Happy World Space Week to you.
Thank you so much, Richard. Pleasure to be with you.
We'll catch you on Mars very shortly, no doubt.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, let's have a little bit of REM and let's go for a stroll on the moon.